Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
To another edition of the Coach Mike Jones podcast show, episode 11. Yeah, I'm really excited about today's show. I got the guys from Seattle Sports Union on here today. And right now I've got on the line the Soul Man. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, brother. How you doing, Coach Mike?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of your guys' show. Man, I admire all the guests you guys had and what you guys represent and offer to people were the history of sports in Seattle and music and all the different stuff you guys provide. Yeah, I really, really admire your show.
Hey, we appreciate that. We had you on as a guest not too long ago, and that was probably one of our more popular episodes. I mean, we had a great time interviewing one of my friends said he's never heard us laugh so much. It was so entertaining.
Okay, nice. Yes, and I've been told by some of my fans it's one of my best interviews also. So, man, what an honor. All right, so
that's props.
I guess my first question is, how did you get the nickname the Soul Man?
great question. I grew up in the Seattle area, and me and my older brother, we went to a Catholic high school, now called Bishop Blanchette, but our last name is Solak. So he was the first original Soul Man, and then when I started in high school, he was a senior, I was a freshman, they started calling me Soul Man Junior. And then he moved on, and my name, the Soul Man, became a legend, and ever since they've been calling me that for the last 35 years, I believe. It's caught on.
All right. I figure you played saxophone or something.
No, I never could play instruments. I was more of a sports nut growing up, and I'm still a sports nut. And I don't pretty much know anything else except for sports. I'm not very inclined on anything else, but that's okay. I'm enjoying life.
Okay. And then I'm sure you've seen a bunch of good concerts. You're a huge fan of the grunge scene, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I've probably seen Alice in Chains five or six times. Pearl Jam quite often. I guess my most favorite concert of all time was Pearl Jam back in '92. I had this free concert down in Magnuson Park called Drop in the Park, and me and my buddies got free tickets, and we went down there and partied it up, and we were near the front, you know, mosh pit, and just a memory we'll never forget. And then we went to work right after that. We worked in the restaurant business. We were cooks. But Lots of good times there. Wow. And I also love Metallica. I got to throw that in. I've seen them about 12 times. They're my favorite heavy metal band.
Wow. Okay, yeah, you beat my record. I've seen Van Halen 8 times the most. So wow. And I've seen Metallica 2 times. Yeah, I've seen Metallica 2 times.
Okay.
So, man, cool. Yeah. What a deal, man.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Who did you prefer? Did you prefer David Lee Roth or did you prefer Sammy Hagar?
I liked them both. And with myself, it's like sometimes it's hard for me to realize, like when people say, oh, I hate Rush, I'm like, damn, dude, they're one of the best. How can you hate somebody like that? So it's not like I hated either one of them, but I really liked them both. So I guess it's a toss-up.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, and then you guys follow the Aqua Sox a lot. Are you guys season ticket holders?
Yeah, my wife and I are season ticket holders, and then I know Abraham's got a season ticket, too, that he splits with our other guy from the Seattle Sports Union. His name is Matthew Page. And I've been going with my wife and when my kids were little for probably the last 20 years we've been going. So, and we covered them for the Seattle Sports Union, and we've been covering them, I want to say, since 2015, 2016, back in the day. So we've been a long relationship with them.
Right on. And then, of course, that big trade, you guys lost some of the best players over there, Novelli Marte. I know you was a big fan of his, right?
I hated to see him go. The kid's got a lot of talent. He's definitely going to be. He's probably about 2 or 3 years away from the majors, to be honest with you. But he had power. He's got speed. He plays defense. I think he's too big to play shortstop. Eventually, I think they'll put him at third base down the road, or maybe in the outfield. But yeah, it was tough to see him go, but. The more I do work with these minor league teams, the more you get used to, unfortunately, you see these kids traded and you realize that they're, right now they're just prospects. So with that said, I think the Mariners made a great deal with what they got at the trade deadline.
Yeah, the Reds got a good deal out of that too, getting Edwin Arroyo and Marte. And myself, I was just saying, like, days before the trade that I thought that they should put Marte in the outfield. And then when, during the trade, Cincinnati Reds listed Marte as an outfielder. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. I did not notice that. That is cool. Good to hear. I think that's the better way to go. So it'd be fun to watch him grow up with them now and see what happens.
Okay, so let's get on to the Mariners. Man, the Mariners, 62-52, second in the AL West. They got the first wild card spot now. Kirby with an impressive outing yesterday. He's now 4-3 with a 3.39. We won 6-2 yesterday in Globe Life Field in Texas there. And, man, what a game. What'd you think about it?
That was a great game. It's thing that stood out to me was Julio Rodriguez is back, and he got right away. He made an impact. He had 2 hits, and he just makes his team so much better. And George Kirby is going to be he's lights out. I think he's going to be he's probably going to be our number 3 starter next year. The guy can throw strikes. He doesn't walk anybody, and I'm excited. This is a fun team, and they've done a great job to construct them where they're at, and I hope they can keep this nucleus together.
Definitely, yeah. Kirby with 5 2/3 innings. He only gave up 7 hits, 2 earned runs, and he struck out 5. And, Brash was impressive, too. Pitched 1 inning and struck out the side for his 3rd hold. And Swanson, of course, came in and struck out 2 in the 9th there. To finish that game off. And then also, like you said, Julio, just having him in the lineup, he got a 2-out, 2-RBI hit and also contributed with another walk. So, yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, very, very much so. The last month and a half of the season is going to be exciting. barring a major injury, I truly believe we got either the one or the two seed for the wild card locked up. I mean, I don't see us blowing it at all. Not like the past Mariners. I mean, this team's for real.
Definitely. Yes, and Haniger's been impressive. He was 3-for-5 with the run yesterday, and he also got an outfield assist. Man, that was impressive.
Yeah, good point. It's great to have. I mean, that's what kind of like a trade line acquisition for us, too, just to get him back in that lineup. And he as well makes everybody else around him better, and he's great in the clubhouse. And yeah, I was really excited to see him back. I mean, he came back at the right time if we can just keep him healthy.
For sure. And then Frazier's out there still going strong for over a month now, it seems. He was 2-for-4 with 2 runs and a walk. He also ended up with his 17th double in a double play. So, yeah, his play was good yesterday, too.
Yeah, when they acquired him, I was in the offseason, I was excited, and he just got off to such a slow start. But we're truly seeing the all-star that Adam Frazier was last year in the National League right now. And I hope he can carry that through, you know, to the playoffs. He's a good player.
Yes, for sure. Now, today at Globe Life Field, we got Marco Gonzalez, 7-11 with a 3.98, going against Dane Dunning, 2-6 with a 4.04. What do you think about Marco so far?
I'm a fan of Marco. I mean, the guy doesn't – his record doesn't speak of how well he's done this year. He's probably – anywhere from 12 to 15 quality starts where he's gone 6-plus innings, and he just hasn't got the run support, but he's pitched really well, and he's worth every penny that the Mariners pay him. I mean, the guy used to be our number one starter for a while, but now he's down to like the 4 starter to where he's more comfortable in, and he's showing it. He throws strikes, he gets outs. I mean, 3.99 ERA in American League and have 11 losses, I think that's pretty darn good, man. And I won't be surprised if he can, you know, get back to 500 before season's end.
For sure, you know, and then I really like him too. He's got a great attitude, and it seems like he's got the Felix thing going where he doesn't get much run support. And even through all that, he still seems to be the same guy. You don't see him get too high or too low, so I'm really impressed with him.
Absolutely, absolutely. I hope I think he's got one more year in his contract. I'd like to see him stay in Seattle, hopefully long term.
Yes, and then of course, a hometown guy, man, can't beat that.
Yep, for sure, for sure.
Okay, so before we get back to baseball, might even touch on a little bit of wrestling and music, too. But who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was sports, music, ordinary life?
Great question. I would say for sports related for me, it was Steve Largent of the Seahawks. I just how he came from out of nowhere from back east. Yeah, I think he was drafted or with the Oilers or something. They traded him to Seahawks back in the inaugural year, and how he just made a name for himself. This, you know, small guy from, I think he's from Oklahoma, I want to say. I can't remember, but how he became one of the top wide receivers in the game. I mean, he made the Hall of Fame, and he was a leader in that locker room on off the field. He was involved in the community. I mean, that's one guy who I looked up to. One other guy would probably be my father, who just turned 80 last spring. He's just amazing guy and inspiration to me. And growing up, I told myself I wanted to be a father just like him, and hopefully I so far have been at least half of what he's shown me, because I'm very blessed, and I just wanted to share that.
Right on. Okay, and then let me see. Today at Giza Stadium, the Aqua Sox are playing the Tri-Cities Dust Devils in Pasco, Washington there today. Today, Everett is bringing out Brian Wu, He's 1-0 with a 2.0 ERA, and he's going against the Dust Devils, Jose Salvador, 2-6 with a 5.23. So that looks pretty good for the Aqua Sox, who are 50-55, and the Dust Devils are 43-60. Do you have any insight for today's game?
It looks very good. I mean, if the Aqua Sox want to have a chance at hopefully making the playoffs, they need to win the series where they're at playing today. Brian Wu, this will be his third start. He just got called up from the Mariners' low-A team, Modesto. He was drafted last year in, like, the seventh or eighth round, I believe. Like, he's a right-hander. He's solid. He hits the strike zone, and he has composure out there on the mound. He doesn't let things get to him. And long story short, when they went on the road trip, we told the Aqua Sox organization, if he's around when we get back, we want to meet this guy because the future is bright for this young man. And he was a surprise pick, they said, last year, but he's already showing how awesome he is, and he could be a possible number four or five starter if he makes it all the way to the big leagues. And then the team itself, they're starting to hit more. I mean, they've gone through so many changes, losing Marte especially, and then catcher Andy Thomas, who got traded to the San Francisco Giants at the trade deadline. But they hit like four or five home runs last night's game. I mean, they're coming together, and I like our chances today. We should be coming back. We're coming back for, I believe, a 2-week homestand starting Tuesday, and now is the time to make our run if we're going to make the playoffs. And I feel good. I have a good vibe.
All right. Yes, and we won yesterday 6-1 at Giza Stadium. Juan Mercedes got that win. He's 6-6 now. And, man, what an impressive game for the Aqua Sox. They had four home runs with Robert Perez Jr. just got called up, hit his third home run. I'm really high on him. He did really great for Modesto. Also, Alberto Rodriguez had his seventh home run. Local guy Matt Schaefer got his first home run. And Darrell Gomez got his 21st home run. Man, he's got some power.
Yeah, he does. He's especially Gomez, a left-hander, tall. He's about 6'5", 6'6".
Wow.
Another great leader on the field. Yeah, he's been fun to watch, for sure. Go ahead.
Robert Perez Jr.
Robert Perez Jr. is awesome. We got to interview him before they went on the road, and he's got like 23 combined home runs between Modesto and Everett this year, and I guess his teammates call him Bobby Bombs because all he does is hit these line drive home runs. Pretty cool.
Okay,
nice kid,
nice.
Too.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, and then, yeah, Juan Mercedes with a solid start. What a game for him. 7 innings pitched, gave up 5 hits, only 1 run, and he struck out 8. Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah, he does. He does. He was a former Aqua Sox who got called back up this year to play for them, and he's looked much better this time than he did the first time. And he threw a no-hitter earlier in the year for the Aqua Sox, too. I'll admit, I left the game early just because it was really cold out, so I was kind of a wimp.
Oh.
But I regret leaving that because he threw a complete no-hitter. But the kids got some stuff.
Yeah, I know how that is, going to Tacoma Rainiers games in, like, in April. You're like, man, I'm freezing out here. Even with a blanket, you're like, or you're not really freezing. It's just sort of uncomfortable to be watching the game, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, and, Everett plays near the – sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, okay, never mind. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Everett plays in downtown Everett just off the water there too. So they get that breeze from the water, and you're shivering by the first pitch pretty much. And it's hard to stay the whole game. We try, but sometimes you just can't.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so it looks like we do got your co-host from Seattle Sports Union, Abe, on. How you doing, Abe?
Hey, Coach Mike. How's it going? Hey, Soul Man. How you doing?
Hey, Abe, good.
I'm doing great.
How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for letting me be on the show, Coach Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Man, it's an honor, man. I might have to get you guys on. You guys got a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience. I just love to hear all of it, you know. And I know you're a busy guy. You're out there working today. You took time out to be on our show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to tell you I'm an honorable man, Coach Mike. But it was work that didn't get done correctly yesterday. So, gotta be honest. Gotta be transparent there.
Yeah, we were just talking about the Everett Aqua Sox. They won yesterday, and they're back at Tri-Cities today. So we pretty much covered that. And then I was doing a little bit of what's that?
Oh, I was going to say, I could give you a little bit of Tacoma Rainiers if you wanted. I was down there last night. Another great atmosphere. I heard the tail end of what Solak said. Yes, it does get a little chilly, but I'll tell you what, minor league baseball is amazing. You get to see guys who are trying for their jobs, trying hard in these last 21 years. Sometimes you watch those big leaguers, you know, in September, and they're just, you know, halfing it. I'll just say that. And it's fantastic to see guys like Kalanick. He was on fire last night. We saw Evan White, who looked really, really good. Abraham Toro coming through with an RBI. And you can see that, you know, we get a little annoyed by these major leaguers sometimes, but they're people too, and they're trying hard to keep their jobs. They're trying hard to prove it and get their way back in. And that's what I love about minor league baseball is you're getting people's 100% effort. If you're not getting their 100%, you ain't hearing from them ever again.
For sure, yes. And today, the Tacoma Rainiers are hosting the Las Vegas Aviators again for a doubleheader. And Las Vegas is now 53-55, and the CCL champion Rainiers are 49-59. And so last night, the Las Vegas won 5-4. That was sort of a heartbreak loss.
Yeah, it was, but, I mean, you have to take a look at the small victories. You take a look at the major league team, Luis Castillo gone, a couple other guys we brought in. You know, we've traded away our farm system. I know Soul Man can speak a little bit more to that. What we're looking at is a depleted Rainier squad injected with some excitement with Kalanick coming back, Kyle Lewis being there, Evan White, Abraham Toro. These guys you've heard of, and once again, they're doing their darndest to get back up to that major league squad. And but yes, old man, I depleted, especially the Aqua Sox, right? They've been gutted.
Yeah, the Aqua Sox have been gutted. Every other player, if it wasn't traded, got promoted to Arkansas, the AA. So basically, it feels like we're starting over with all these new kids coming up from Modesto. And it's tough. We go through it every year, but like I said earlier, you get used to it. And I mean, like Abraham said, these kids are working their behinds off, and if they don't get their 100%, they're not going to be there down the road. And you gotta give props to the Mariners in general for taking that risk on these, because these kids are still prospects. I know someone like Marte is going to be awesome one day, but they took the risk and they got one of the best pitchers in the game, and the Mariners is going to lead them into the playoffs. So, but I do hate seeing us get depleted, but it's part of minor league baseball. So,
yeah, if we're running a World Series run next year, this would be all worth it.
Exactly.
Yes, definitely. And man, we've got a crop of talent coming up through the ranks. Like Modesto just got Sanchez and Gabriel Gonzalez from the Arizona League, and those guys are looking good.
Yeah, they those guys are good. They're. I haven't got to see any videos of them playing personally, but just listening to the local experts like Jason Churchill of Prospect Insider and Joe Doyle of Prospects Live, they're high on these kids. I mean, I believe they're top 15 prospects now. And then you mentioned Modesto. They got the number one prospect in Mariners baseball right now, which is Harry Ford, our number one pick last year. The kids can play catcher. I think they're going to move him eventually to second base or outfield, but that team down there in Modesto is winning right now. And to think that, you know, they're going to go up the ladder and we're going to see them in Everett next year, and then they'll be in, you know, Arkansas or Tacoma, and as long as Mariners don't trade them, but just to have these kids, it makes minor league baseball fun to watch too. I mean, I sometimes enjoy it more than watching major league baseball, just to see their passion out there.
And also the atmosphere, man. I was down at the Rainiers game last night, and they had fireworks, you know, and they had you know, one thing that bugs me about the Mariners game, and maybe I'm old, Dolak, I know you're old. Coach Mike, you're not that old. You're young at heart. But I was at the Mariners game. I've been at the Mariners game like four. You're young at heart. I've been at the game several times, and I don't know. It's just noisy. It's, you know, marketing in your face, and it's just kind of nice to have like dancing mascots and you know, fun things in between innings that aren't, you know, just trying to take the focus away from the game. It's minor leagues still have some of that old world charm, and I love it.
Yep.
Yes, for sure. And like you were talking about Harry Ford, yeah, I'm high on him too. And most people don't know he's straight out of high school and he's up there kicking butt.
Yeah, he really is. I think he. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that's kind of out of DePoto's realm, isn't it? So, like, he doesn't go for the 18-year-olds, really, does he?
No, he does not. He's more of a
college guy.
More of a college kid. Yeah, that's why that was shocking last year, but. Nothing surprised me at DePoto anymore, man. I wasn't a fan at first. I'll admit that. Abe's given me a bunch of crap over the years. But DePoto's a darn good GM and taking these risks. I mean, you mentioned Harry Ford. Let's also mention we interviewed the Mariners, I want to say his fourth-round draft pick this year. They call him the Vanilla Missile. Walter Ford, he's a right-handed pitcher who throws 97 miles an hour. He was on the Sales Sports Union. We had a mini podcast with him 2 weeks ago, and this kid is exciting. And we teased about one day hopefully seeing Ford pitch to Ford. One day there's going to be the battery, and they'll probably sell T-shirts because of that and some kind of marketing ploy over that. But this kid, they're going to say he's going to, if he puts on the muscle, this kid's going to throw over 100 miles an hour, they say. So just another thing to look forward to. Watch him in the rankings, Coach Mike. He's going to make an impact.
Yes, and our first-round draft pick was quite the first-round draft pick was quite the pick, too.
Oh, the shortstop. Yeah, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Do you have his name there?
Cole. I forgot his name, yeah. Cole Davis, I think.
I think that sounds right. But yeah, that kid, another kid that is a surprise pick in my opinion. But it just built another shortstop. It's a pot, you know, maybe the future shortstop for the Mariners about 4 years down the road. I mean, it gives them more. What am I trying to say? It gives them more. Makes it easier to trade someone like Nueve Marte for a top pitcher in baseball because we got these other younger kids coming up. I mean, they're making the right choices, Seattle. And the future is bright. I hope we can continue this.
For sure. And, Abe, back to the Rainiers last night. Toro hit a three-run home run. And
yes, he did.
Also, a good outing for Warner. Five innings pitched, gave up six hits, no runs, and struck out five. So that was nice to see also.
It was, especially since Oakland's top prospect. Oh my God, I forgot his name. The top prospect came up and didn't do much against Warner. That was a brilliant thing to see because Oakland always seems to have these guys in there that are always coming up. And I know they never sign anybody long term deals, but they know how to find the gems very well. Billy Beane's amazing at it. And great to see Warner shut him down early in the game.
For sure. Okay, and then Abe, I already asked Soul Man this question. It's one of my basic interview questions. Who were some of your heroes growing up, whether it was sports, music, or ordinary life?
Sports, music, ordinary life. I mean, I'm with Charles Barkley. I don't idolize athletes, so I will have to focus on somebody like. Like my own dad, you know, that's a huge influence in my life. My best friend's parents, very big influences in my life. And then Now, if you want to go with who did I you know, maybe think of myself as I was playing basketball as a kid, and that might be, you know, matching myself as Xavier McDaniel, the X-Man himself, and, of course, who didn't, you know, fall in love with one Alvin Davis, Rookie of the Year, 1984. That was a guy that I never thought got enough credit in the league, never got enough credit in baseball, never got a credit even with our own fan base. Love the guy.
Nice. Yes, I was huge fans of those guys too. Nice. And then now let's go on to Arkansas. The Arkansas Travelers are at the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. We no-hit them yesterday. And 6-0 with five different pitchers we used. The starting pitcher was Baroa. He went five innings pitched, no hits, walked two. He struck out 11. He won that game. He's 1-1 now, and his ERA is down to 4.35. So it's nice to see that they no hit the Northwest Arkansas yesterday.
Yeah, that was really cool. Bro, another Aquasox, he just got called up a couple weeks ago. Mariners got him in a trade with, I want to say, the Giants, too. Yeah, actually, former Aquasox and Seattle Mariner Donovan Walton was traded to the Giants for Baroa back, like, in June, I believe. And he the guy throws strikes. He throws heat. He did really well with the Aquasox, reason why he got his promotion. And very happy for the kid to see him throw the combined no-hitter last night.
Yeah, and I was a big fan of Donovan Walton, you know. I was sad to see him go. Didn't seem like the Mariners gave him an actual chance this year. He got called up once or twice, and they didn't really use him. He went to San Francisco and hit a grand slam on his first at-bat, I think it was. So,
Donnie. He calls himself Donovan Walton. We knew him as Donnie Walton back in low A Everett, and we got a chance to interview him. His interview's on SeattleSportsNews.com. We really, really liked him. I thought the Mariners made a mistake in dumping him in favor of Dylan Moore. I know our cohort, Matt Page, will argue with me on that, but I think it was a tremendous mistake. I think Donnie had more talent than Dylan.
Yes, at least to give him a chance, you know, and then I was sort of upset at the start of the season when they brought up Penn Murphy and Haggerty and didn't use them guys either. All the while they were losing.
I have no idea.
I was
Coach Mike, what are we doing? Why are we not putting Haggerty as a starter? Why are we still pretending he's a utility guy? This kid is
goodness. I know.
On fire.
What does he got to do?
he was batting over
300. Yeah, he's fine.
And they had him batting like eighth or ninth. Seriously?
I know. He should be leading off.
That's true. Move Julio down to number three. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
Guy gets on base almost every game, it seems like.
Let's go back to this Arkansas game. Joe Rizzo was 3-for-4 with a run and an RBI. He got his 23rd double. And let's see who else did good. Cade Marlowe was 2-for-2 with an RBI. And Riley Unruh was 1-for-2 with 4 runs, an RBI, and 2 walks. And he got 3 stolen bases. He now has 18 stolen bases. That's nice to see. I'm a fan of his.
God, so man, we need to do another shameless plug on the show, don't we? One for an interview with Cade Marlowe, right?
Oh yeah,
a while back.
We talked to him. My memory's going bad. I believe it was 2020. Yeah, last year when he was with the Everett Aquasox. It's on SeattleSportsUnion.com as well. An older kid, but he's last year was his breakout year, and he ended up getting promoted to Arkansas, and then he also played for Tacoma in September. I hope this kid succeeds, even if he becomes, you know, like a 4A outfielder where he promoted and then gets option, you know, plays back and forth. And he's a good kid, and he's got lots of talent. The guy has a knowledge for the best, especially at the plate. The guy, we're fans of him for sure.
Can I ask you a question about Cade Marlowe, Soul Man, about his power?
Yes.
He had power at Everett, but I mean, Everett's kind of a small stadium, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But the ball just carries at that ballpark. I don't know what the reason is. I don't know if it's the marine layer coming in from the water. I have no idea, but it seems like there's probably 2-3 home runs out of that park every game we go to. Cade.
So my supplementary question is basically: is he major league power? Is my question, or is that an illusion?
My response to that is a 4A player, so not really. He may come up and provide a few hits off the bench, maybe one or two homers, but no, I don't. I think he's more going to be stuck in 4A.
that's a good evaluation.
Yeah.
Okay, back to Arkansas. Today they're back at Dickie Stevens Park there. Arkansas is 52-54, and Northwest Arkansas is 44-61. And the Travelers are going with the former Aqua Sox, Bryce Miller, who's 0-0 with the 368 in Arkansas. Northwest Arkansas is going with Hoffman, who's 1-2 with the 531. You guys, I'm sure you were big fans of Bryce Miller.
Oh, one of my favorites. I'm glad you brought him up. Another interview that is on our salesportsunion.com we did back in June or July, but this kid was a high draft pick. Was it 2021 out of fourth round, I believe, out of Texas A&M? The guy throws heat. The guy knows how to miss bats. You know, they talk about all those stats, missing bats. This guy, he strikes out people. He's got composure on the mound. He kind of reminds a little bit of George Kirby. He doesn't walk. He doesn't really walk anybody. If we don't trade this kid, I could see him being on the MLB roster probably by 2024. I got nothing good things to say about him.
So you might be getting
right
to
on.
Him soon enough. You might be getting to him soon enough, Coach Mike, but Emerson Hancock's really the major leaguer on this team, isn't he, Brian? Like
yes.
I like Bryce, but Emerson Hancock I think is in a second in a class second to none on that team.
Oh yes,
for sure,
definitely is impressive.
Yeah, Hancock. I believe Abraham talked to him last year. Did a podcast or like a
videocast
with him on channelsportune.com as well.
Coach Mike, I keep doing this to you. There's another shameless plug. We had an interview with Emerson Hancock, and what an awesome young man, and very humble, and in person amazing. You know, even more amazing than on the field. The guy just he's throwing smoke, and everybody else is just lighting cigarettes. You know, he's out there knocking people down. I like Bryce Miller a lot, but like when your eyes and your heart go wow at the stadium, it's because Emerson Hancock's on the mound.
Yes, definitely, and it was impressive to see him at the Futures game. He struck out the side, man. It looked like he was untouchable.
I didn't see that, but I did read about that. That's awesome to hear because he's coming back from injury, I believe, last year, and so yeah, it's nice to see him. He's got the heat back, and like Abe said, he is major league ready. I'm sure we'll see him in Tacoma last year, and probably once in a while getting called up when the M's have got an injury to fill in.
Okay, and then let me see, Soul Man, did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I did. I played basketball and baseball, but baseball was my game. I played all the way through my senior year in high school. I was a catcher. I was known more for my defense than my offense on the field, but I missed playing that. Had I not injured my shoulder my senior year, I threw it out. I probably would have went on to play community college baseball, but that's life. Things happen for a reason. But, yeah, baseball was my sport growing up for sure.
Okay. And then, Abe, before we get to you, I want to say these are not shameless plugs because I'm a huge fan of your guys' show. I I admire all the guests you've had on. I mean, Jim Moore, the go-to guy, Kevin Collaboral, Pat Dillon, James Donaldson, the list goes on. And, man, I haven't got a chance to listen to that many of them, but I definitely need to listen to all those as soon as I get a chance.
Thanks.
And then, okay, Abe, what about you? Did you play sports in high school or growing up?
Yeah, definitely. Basketball all the way up until I got to high school. I was a really, really good basketball player. And then first day at Blanchette, I noticed everybody on the team was 6'4" or taller. And I'm like, that's my career. It's done. Blanchette in Seattle was a very good basketball team back in those days. So, yeah, I switched to wrestling where I did 4 years. I lettered and was known more for goofing off with others and doing pro wrestling techniques and getting in trouble with the coach than actually winning any matches. So, yeah, I'm going to be honest. I got into wrestling in high school because I, you know, had a love for pro wrestling, and I've always thought, like, you know, had it been 10 years later, or maybe 20 years later, you know, maybe that I would have tried to do some amateur pro wrestling. But back then, we didn't really talk. Like, our school was very cliquish. I went to school with Brian Solak, and I didn't try to, like, just put out there, you know, all the nerdy things I used to do.
Okay. All right, and then what's your self-defense background?
Witty retorts and a lightning quick first step for running away. But
okay.
And no, I did.
What about
I did
you?
Do some, as a kid, I did Aikido and Kung Fu, but I was way more. Coach Mike, and I know you can understand this. I was way more interested in pro wrestling than I was actually amateur wrestling. And it was like that and, like, you know, stuff like the CS were all consuming when I was a kid.
Okay. Sort of reminds me that I didn't do collegiate wrestling in junior high. I did it in boys and girls clubs. But by junior high, I was just totally into backyard wrestling. And I had people coming to me from the wrestling team saying, "Hey, man, the coach wants you to wrestle." I said, "Screw that, but I'll beat any of their asses." Of course, I was stupid. Excuse my language. I should have definitely wrestled in high school. I did wrestle in high school, but in junior high I should have. But you live and you learn.
Exactly.
I like hearing about your background on our show, Coach Mike. Oh, sorry, Coach Mike. I was just saying, you telling us about your background when you were on our show, because, you know, that's something I kind of wish that was available, or at least more better well known when I was younger, as at least an opportunity. You know, not saying I would have been amazing at it, but it would have been fun to pursue.
Yeah. And then what about your some of your concert experiences, some of your favorites and best shows you've seen?
Is that for me? Is that for you?
Yes. Abe.
Oh, yeah. and Snowman will not like this, but because I won't shut up about it. It's constantly Weird Al. It's every time Weird Al comes to Seattle or Seattle adjacent, I am there. But my very first concert was Kitsap County Fairgrounds, Soundgarden, maybe 91-ish, somewhere in there, 90.
That's awesome.
Before, is Bad Motor Finger, so whenever that came out.
Okay,
you're
nice.
Pretty close.
Yeah, I seen the rock stock there was Tool and Candlebox. That was amazing. But yeah, Soundgarden was before that, I think. Yes. All right, and then let's see. Let's go on to John Thurman Field. The Modesto Nuts are hosting the Fisala Rawhide. Last night, the Rawhide won 4-3 at John Thurman's Field there for the California League. And let's see, who did good for the Modesto Nuts? Gabriel Gonzalez was 1-for-3 with a run. And Fruity Batista, 2-for-3 with a run and an RBI. And their new shortstop, Sanchez, was 1-for-4 with 2 RBIs. Let's take a look at Sanchez real quick. He's another one of those Dominican Republican guys. He's only 19 years old. I'm really looking forward to seeing him blossom and get called up here one of these days. Are you guys familiar with Axel Sanchez?
I was just going to say he's probably got one of the coolest first names ever out there, Axel. I mean, come on, that's awesome. Alone. But I have heard good things about him. I haven't seen him. I've only seen him videos of him playing, but I know the guy's got speed. He's got a knowledge for at the plate, and I want to see him rise. I mean, hope I don't want him to rush him either. The kid is still young, but I'm a fan. I hope he does well. Go Axel.
Okay.
One of your former guests, Coach Mike, his son is named Axel. That's what a cool name it is. And I just had to throw that out.
Definitely. Yeah, the Modesto Nuts are 55-51, and Visala is 37-69. So it looks like the Nuts might be favored in today's game. Both pitchers are to be determined at John Thurman Field today.
Yeah, it
what
sounds like
you,
an
Abe?
Easy win for Modesto.
Abe, are you familiar with anybody from Modesto?
No, I rely heavily on Matt and Brian to keep me up to date on anything that's below the Aquasox level.
Okay, yeah. I don't follow the Arizona League, but they seem to have some good people over there still, too.
Do they? That's
either
good. Good to hear. I know. I don't really follow them, but I know.
Okay.
I do kind of more of the. That's where they get considered like the rookie league. They throw a lot of draft their draft choices in there, and a lot of their Dominican Republic signings. And I know from a fact hearing the other local people talk about it. They go down there just to. You get that Homer Simpson drill when you watch these kids play down there. I mean. Hopefully we'll see them in the big leagues one day. I mean, all those guys in the Modesto Nuts, I would say probably 2/3 started out at the Arizona League. So that shows you the talent.
What the heck is a Homer Simpson drill?
When Homer Simpson's drilling, whether it's donuts or beer or nachos, I mean, women, whatever. I'm just saying, it's pretty cool.
All right. Okay, now here's another interview question. Hey, Soul Man, who were your favorite people to interview?
Great question. We had several of them, but I'll pick, of course, you, Coach Mike. We were talking earlier. We had the most laughs with you. And you're definitely one of my tops. And I'd probably say Tom Hutler, the Mariners PA announcer. I got to interview him by myself last week on a podcast. Just to get to know the guy and his history, and very blessed to talk to the guy. It's worth an interview there on salesfortune.com if anybody wants to check that out. Then I'd probably say, Jeff Nelson, former Mariner. We got to interview him back in the springtime. We talked to him for about 30 minutes, just hearing his stories about the 95 M's and the ghosts of Yankee Stadium. But any one of those names that we have we've interviewed, I could fall in those category. But those are probably my top three.
Yeah, and that's world champion Jeff Nelson. He was a winner since day one.
Exactly. I think he said his rings. I think he told me and Abe his World Series rings are in a closet somewhere or something. But he still has them.
Well, typical. At least they're not at a hawk shop.
There you go. Yep.
True.
All right, Abe, what about you? Your favorite interviews?
Yeah, former NBA player James Donaldson, right there at the top with the gas man, Dave Crosby. That was a fantastic interview, not because he's an amazing talker, but he also backed me up against Matt Page, who was wrong about things, and I need to make sure that an expert like Groz tells him and teaches him his place. But I would also say, you know, just big shout out to a player who never really made it that big, Bryson Brigman, one of my first interviews of player. I really liked New York Vinny when he was on our show as well.
Okay, nice. And it's nice that I've got the Graz and Jim Moore and a few of your other guests in the NGW Green Room interviews. Those are available on YouTube if anybody'd like to check them out.
Outstanding.
Okay.
Right on.
I've seen
now,
you,
let's
I've seen
get on
your green
to
room.
Little...
I've seen your green Oh, sorry to interrupt. I was going to say, I've seen your Green Room interviews, and those are amazing. You had some on Root with Angie Nemec. Good stuff.
I have two with Angie and one with Jen. So, yes, I was blessed to get to do those. I sure miss the Fan Fest. My goodness, they haven't had it. What is it, like 5 years now? My goodness.
Yeah, it's been about 5 years. It's too bad they didn't bring it back.
Well, I
realized for COVID that might have been a problem. Why wasn't it here? What's going on with it? Does anybody know?
They've had numerous excuses. It's like, I don't know. I sort of blame Jerry, you know, back in the first one or two they didn't do, they were like, we just can't do them. The third one, they were like, we're still getting over the Christmas party we had. And these are in January or February, something crazy, you know. And then, of course, COVID for the last couple of years, yeah.
And they're cheap, Abe. I'll say it. They're cheap. Mariners are cheap.
You don't need to tell me 23rd in salary. And, like, this is what bugs me. I'm going back to the Luis Castillo trade. I was talking to some friends yesterday, and, like, if they don't sign this guy to a long-term contract, I don't know if that's a win, you know, unless you get the World Series. I mean, like, you need to keep this guy around.
I agree.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And,
off-season,
you know,
since
we're talking about contracts, I'm going to give you guys my opinion on what's going on here. I don't know. I'm just going by track record. Now, they seem to love to brag about they got this guy under control, which means they're paying Ty France minimum wage, while they gave Evan White $4 million a year before he even proved himself. And he makes five times more than half the roster, basically. And that's a crime to me. And then you can't tell me all these guys are going to be catching up to ending their contracts and going to have to sign them. Julio's going to be big money. All of these guys would probably be better off going somewhere else rather than having our organization lowball them, because it seems like they don't appreciate the guys enough. My opinion is Gilbert, J-Rod, those guys should be getting raises already, even Cal Raleigh. Nothing about, they need to wait 3 or 4 more years. That's wrong. That means they don't appreciate them as much as they should.
That bugs me a lot, Coach Mike, because you look at it from the perspective of if you're – and I realize it's not a cogent argument necessarily, but if you're Microsoft, if you're Amazon, if you're – Boeing, are you sitting there bragging that, we've got these employees under control? Our CEO doesn't, you know, it's like, no, go spend some money and keep these guys, the guys that you need to keep around.
Yeah, you know, goodness. What about you, Soul Man?
I agree with both of you guys saying I'm surprised that they haven't locked Julio up right by now. They really need to give this guy like a 10-year $250 million contract extension. I mean, it's stupid that they're waiting. I don't know what's going on, but, I mean, I'll use Tampa Bay as an example. They're a cheap organization, but they know how to produce these good players every year. And last year they locked up one of the best shortstops in baseball, Wander Franco, to 11-year, $180 million deal. I mean, why aren't we locking up Julio Rodriguez to a 10-year? And he, I believe he deserves more than Wander Franco, but
10 for 250. I mean, come on, we got the money. Let's make it happen. And Gilbert, too.
Exactly.
Gilbert should be locked up.
Yes, you know, and then to me, that makes it like you compare them to Microsoft or whatever. When you're talking about controlling guys and lowballing guys, to me, that makes it feel like this isn't a very good place to work. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
They need to start rewarding some guys.
Yep, for sure.
Okay,
and we're not even saying reward
back...
guys who don't. Oh, sorry, I'm saying we're not like we're even saying reward guys who haven't done anything. I'm saying, yeah, reward guys who have shown something. Don't go the Evan White route.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Ty France, I mean, I loved his interview the other day when he was player of the game, he won the game, and they talked to him, and one thing he made clear, he said, hey, look, I take hitting seriously. Of course he does. He came from San Diego and Tony Gwynn, and he showed his whole career he does take it seriously. He deserves a raise.
For sure.
Yep, yep.
Way underpaid, yep.
I mean, even if it ain't a raise, it should be some type of incentive program for him. My goodness.
You would think so.
Okay.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Oh. Were you going to say something, Abe? Okay, you're good? Okay. All right, now let's get on to some pro wrestling. So, Soul Man, who were some of your favorite wrestlers growing up?
Oh, good question. I would say back in the day, Playboy Buddy Rose was one of my favorites. Ric Flair, of course, and then he would get into later stages with The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Nowadays, I don't really have a favorite wrestler. It's just entertaining to watch, but those are my guys probably growing up, those four.
Okay, and then I've seen you've sent messages up to Jericho to see about getting him on your podcast. Man, I'd love to hear that.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. I would love to get him on. I mean, I'm going every route that I can, and so we'll see what happens. But you'll be the first to know when we do, my friend, for sure.
Okay, and then the guy who trained me and got me into wrestling, Defolo the Butcher Debashi, he was just on Jericho's podcast like 2 or 3 months ago because Debashi works with Abdullah the Butcher. And so Abdullah and Debashi got to get on Jericho's podcast a couple months ago, and it went pretty good.
That's awesome. I'll have to check that out. Right on.
Okay, and now, Abe, what about you, your favorite wrestlers growing up?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, I was a huge fan of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, huge fan of, Sting. You know, I'm talking Surfer Sting. I'm not talking the Crow Sting. And, love those guys. And, dude, I was a big fan of jobbers. I didn't know what they were, you know, like as far as like, it was still real to me back then. But guys like Iron Mike Sharp, Barry Horowitz, the Brooklyn Brawler. Those were my guys. I rooted for them. I knew they were going to lose, but I rooted for them.
All right, yeah. And those guys are all impressive, and it was nice when once in a while they got to wrestle another jobber themselves and get over, and you're like, man, I knew they were good.
Exactly.
Yep.
And, as you get older, you learn more about the business, and you find out, like, well, actually, those guys, one, they're necessary. Two, they're a lot more impressive than you think because they're making superstars out of other people. And that's a lot harder than it sounds.
Good point.
For sure. All right. You know, I can talk for hours, you know, and I know your guys' time's money and you're really busy. We've gone an hour now. How much time do you guys got left individually?
Whatever you need, my friend. I'm here.
Yeah, you can check on
okay.
a few more. If we're talking pro wrestling, I'm in.
All right. Okay, so, Soul Man, what's some of the most memorable matches you've seen?
Oh, I have a bad memory, but I do remember going to WrestleMania in Seattle back in, what was that, 2004, 2005, being so close to the action, seeing all my favorite characters, Stone Cold, obviously The Rock, Vince McMahon, who I want to bring up here, not this very second, but I want to talk about him, but those are probably my favorite matches. On TV, I remember watching Mick Foley and one of his characters going against The Undertaker on that cage match when he threw him off the top of the cage. That was probably one of the coolest matches that I've ever seen. I guess those are probably the ones that stand out.
Okay. And I got a WrestleMania story for you. They're at Safeco Field, as it was. Let me see. It was The Undertaker was wrestling, and I was waiting for this for the right time to do this because I seen in the Mad magazine they had a cartoon of The Undertaker wrestling Stink, and The Undertaker was ripping Stink's trunks off.
Stink,
and Stink had his hands over his crotch. With the kissy lips, and then Undertaker was taking his undies. So I waited for the right time during the Undertaker's match, and I was sitting about halfway up in the middle, and so I waited for the perfect time till it – normally the crowd was going crazy the whole night, you know. But during that match, I waited for the most quietest time – during their match to let out I yelled, "Go Undertaker!" I'm telling you, here's my opinion of what happened. About a 10,000 people radius all the way around me at a 360 degree busted up laughing. I don't think my scream made it down to the ring, but it obviously made it down towards the front of the row. I was like, yes! I was so proud of myself that I waited till the right time.
You should be. That's a great story. Right on.
Okay,
gotta be a video out there somewhere.
Goodness, huh? Abe, what's your most memorable matches?
Oh boy, I'd have to say, just like everybody else, I was watching on TV when Jake unleashed the Cobra on Savage. That was something. That was one where I turned to my dad and I was like, "I told you it's real," you know. WrestleMania 19. I got my story for that. I was at the Pyramid Brewing with a couple buddies, and I'm sitting there and I'm like poking my buddy Aaron, and I'm like, "Dude, that's Steve Lombardi, you know, the Brooklyn Brawler." And he's And I'm like, yeah. And then my another friend of ours, he's like, "Who's the Brooklyn Brawler?" And I'm like, "Shh, quiet. Don't let him hear you say that." You know, like, I'm marking out, my buddy's marking out, and we got this guy who doesn't know anything about wrestling. He's like, "Why don't I just go ask him?" He walks over and he's like, "Are you the Brooklyn Brawler?" And they start shaking hands, taking pictures. And I'm looking at my friend like, "We're such idiots. Like, we could have just probably done that. He's probably used to it." But I gotta say, for watching a match, the last days of WCW, there was a match with AJ Styles, Air Styles, and Air Paris versus the Young Dragons. One of the best matches I've ever seen. I know everybody likes to crap on the last days, you know, the death of WCW. Some of the best wrestling I ever saw was, you know, when nobody gave a damn anymore, when wrestlers were allowed to do whatever they wanted to do. And it's pretty cool. That match sticks out in my mind. And then, I'd have to say, like, do you guys remember Sean O'Hare and Chuck Palumbo as a tag team?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those guys were amazing, too, in those dying days. Competition was good for wrestling in the late 90s. I the death of WCW shouldn't. I wish that never had happened. because it took another, what, decade for TNA to get any good.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, me too. I was a huge fan of WCW, where, of course, I used to watch them both at the same time and cord one and watch the other. And it was nice. WCW played twice. They played it twice in the same day, so you could basically pretty much watch them both. So I love those days, and I've got a huge library of all a bunch of those shows.
That's awesome. Hey, Coach Mike, quick question. Did you say you talked to the Graz before?
Yes, I was at the Pat O'Day Celebrity Golf Tournament with him, and I got to do an NGW Green Room interview with him, yes.
Oh, very cool.
Okay,
very cool.
Did he mention his stories of wrestling back in the day when he was a ring announcer?
No, I didn't know that. And then we really didn't get to talk
much. Oh, I forgot about that.
No, but yeah.
Okay.
I'd love to hear it.
It was in Sacramento, right?
Yeah, Abe can fill in if I get it wrong, but it's on our interview with the Graz. He tells us about it. But back in the day, he for extra cash in Sacramento, he was doing the ring announcers for WWF. And there's one show where after the show, they asked him to drive George Animal Steel back to his hotel. And the two of them ended up going out drinking, long story short. And then next time he was in town, I want to say the Graz pretty much ghosted George the Animal Steel because he didn't want to go out. So the next time they're in town, the third time they're in town, Graz went out there, and I guess before the show, I forget, someone told him, yeah, George the Animal Steel is really pissed off at you, blah, blah, blah. And Graz was getting all nervous, and he was afraid something was going to happen, and he went out to announce. I think he was going against Savage, because I want to say Graz said the lovely Elizabeth came out, and then Savage came out, and then they called out George Animal Steel, and George Animal Steel went directly into the ring and chased Graz around. Graz had to slide out of the ring, and you got to listen to it. The story is better when Graz tells it on our podcast, but quite entertaining.
Wow.
Quite entertaining.
It was
wow.
The worst, though, right? Because George the Animal actually was not that angry, but he wanted to
no.
rib him. So.
But
yeah.
It was, yeah, quite funny.
Which you never know if George told him he was going to do that or not. Of course, it was a work, but maybe not to the point
correct.
to the length that he told him, "Hey, I'm going to chase you around."
Yeah, I believe pardon my language, but Graz said he almost crapped his pants that night.
So he definitely probably didn't know exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. All right, and then. One of our standard questions, when I say "are," I'm also a co-host of Turnbuckle Turmoil, one of the longest-lasting podcasts. Turnbuckle Turmoil has gone over 10 years strong now with over 1,700 shows. We've interviewed wrestlers from all over the world. But my co-host on there is Sign Guy, and one of our standard
no way.
Interview questions, yes. One of our standard interview questions are, Soul Man, what is your favorite coffee to drink?
Favorite coffee? Oh, great question. I would say I'm a wimp. I like my coffees iced, so I usually get an iced mocha, usually double iced mocha. That would be my favorite coffee.
Okay, what about you, Abe?
Yeah. So, do you guys remember the old General Mills International Coffees, the powdered coffees that you stirred in your water, hot water? That's my favorite.
Yeah.
Maxwell House bought them out. Not as good anymore.
Okay. All right. Cool. And then, Abe, do you know Sign Guy?
Well, I remember watching Sign Guy on ECW.
Okay, no, there's different Sign Guys. That was one of the
oh,
original
okay,
Sign Guys. But the Sign Guy we have, he's been around probably the same amount of time, but he's not as popular. He's a Sign Guy Jason Amos from the Midwest Canada area over there in Indiana.
Okay, well, if he's been around for over a decade, then he's had longer sustainability than Sign Guy Dudley.
Yeah.
You got to give him credit for that.
Okay. All right. And then, so who do you guys got coming up on your next interviews?
next week we're supposed to have Channel 13 sports reporter Elisa Charleston coming on. And former Wazoo, former basketball player. Looking forward to meeting her and getting to know her. Working on Randy Mueller, former GM of the Seahawks and for the Saints. He says he'd be on my show, and I give him our show, and I give him some dates. I'm just waiting on him to respond to get that sealed. Probably we had umpire Dale Scott, former umpire, who came out with a book. We had him on last spring. He said he would join us when the playoffs get closer to the MLB playoffs. So those are a few of our upcoming guests. We also have a couple guys who are recurring guests that we have on every once in a while, our soccer Sounders expert, Rich Michelson, and Rob English, we call him the SoCal Seahawk. He's our Seahawk expert. And speaking of that, I want to say happy birthday, Rob English. He turns 39 today, so I want to give him a shout out. So those are some of our guests. I'm working on others, but those are some.
Okay, right on. I'm a huge fan of Elisa Charleston. Tell her I said hi and that I'd love to have her on my show someday.
Will do, promise.
Thank you. Okay, and we haven't got a chance to touch on the Seahawks or the Sounders yet. What do you guys – now, Soul Man, what do you think about the Seahawks?
Seahawks, they got some pieces. Obviously, they need to fill. It's going to be interesting to watch them, obviously, without Russell Wilson, with our – quarterback issues with Locke and Geno Smith. I'm excited because they got some new young kids on the offensive line. They got Cross and they got the guy from Wazoo, Lucas, who's going to be their tackles, hopefully starting tackles. And their defense is coming back healthy, so it'll be fun to watch them. But I'm looking more – I mean, we had a preseason prediction of schedule. We all came with up to 6-11, but the more I think about it, I'm hoping – they lose more than that, so we can have a better shot at a decent quarterback in the draft next year. It's not going to happen this year without Wilson or a good quarterback.
Okay, what about you, Abe?
I am not in lockstep with this whole Locksmith scenario. I don't know if this is gross malfeasance, by our management, or if there's just some arrogance that they don't – that they think that they're going to run us with a has-been and a never-was at quarterback. And we're going to see tonight at 5 o'clock a little bit more. But, I'm just not excited. I'm not thrilled for it. There are solid players at every position except for quarterback, and it's a team that should be challenging for the NFC West, but there's a giant gaping, sucking hole, wound, at that quarter position, at the quarterback position. And I don't know why they didn't draft somebody. I don't know why they didn't telegraph somebody. I don't know why they didn't use Semaphore and send for help at this quarterback position. They ain't got nothing, man.
Wow. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of the Seahawks. Always have been since day one. And then, let's go back. Soul Man, you were talking about Steve Largent. Yes, when I was a kid, I was a member of the Youth for Christ, and Steve Largent and Jim Zorn were part of that too, where they would give away like 50 tickets a game each weekend, and they would give a lot of them to the Youth for Christ kids. So yes, I got to get Largent and Zorn's autograph. They were great guys. They'd sit there and talk to you as long as you wanted, sign every autograph, role models, great citizens. And then, of course, you got to love it when Largent wasn't taking no more crap at that Denver game and knocked out Harden.
Yes, that's the highlight I watch every year for sure. That's it was awesome. He took him out.
And then I loved,
great memory.
I loved having Jim Zorn as the Dragons coach. That really sucks that they didn't bring him back. even though Jim Hassel's a good replacement.
I'm sorry, Coach Mike. Gonna have to disagree with you. We did. I was on the sidelines for the two Dragons games, and the guy, his coaching days are past his prime. He was outcoached in both games that I saw. I disagree with you. A great guy. Uh-huh. I mean, like, yeah, it's like separating the pro wrestler, the person from the character. Jim Zorn is a great guy, but he's not a great head coach, in my opinion.
I'm going to add to that real quick.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm a fan too. I know what Abe is saying. I mean, Jim Zorn, his offensive coordinator who he hired was never with him the entire season. I don't remember why. So Jim took on way too much. So I think had he possibly had a decent offensive coordinator and took less responsibility, we might have had more, been more fun to watch, I guess. And he would have had more, he would have had more luck, I guess, as a head coach. But yeah, either way, he's a good people as a person. I do like Jim Zorn.
There's another problem. With
where
they got stuck with I was just going to say they got stuck with the quarterback that was not Jim Zorn's choice.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think it was more the talent than him. But I don't know. I guess maybe I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I thought they should have had BJ in there a lot sooner, the hometown guy.
Oh, yeah. Heck yeah. Definitely.
Yes. From day one, for sure.
Okay, now back to the Seahawks. Yes, my opinion on the Seahawks, like I said, I'm a huge fan. I'm not too high on Drew Lock, except for I am holding out hope and hoping he can do good. And if he has a decent season, we might make 7-9. If he doesn't, or they have a big, if they keep trying to switch him off, that'll probably make a 5-11 season. But one thing I'm hoping to see for sure, no matter if they lose every game, I don't want to see no more of the crap that they had last year of DK Metcalf and Jamal Adams out there losing their cool and losing games for us. And I was really surprised last year where Bobby Wagner wasn't in those guys' face saying, hey, look, dude, shut the hell up and get with it. And then even Pete would just let the guys stay in the game. I'm like, no, they're letting the people, the players run the show here.
Kind of always been Pete's MO, though, hasn't it? I mean,
it is,
with
basically,
Earl Thomas and his antics and Richard Sherman.
Exactly. And then Marshawn. And then Marshawn. And then Marshawn recently getting arrested. That was sort of unfortunate. Did you guys get to see that on TV where they showed what happened?
Yeah, I feel bad about that because it reminded me of a linebacker for the Seahawks named Leroy Hill, who his NFL career got ended because of drunk driving or DUI, I guess, technically is what it's called. And it's sad because, you know, these guys have fame and money, but there's still something that isn't there, that's not getting fulfilled, and they're making dumb decisions like this, you know. I would like to say, you know, if I were rich, I would just hire a driver to take me everywhere, you know, and that
Goodness,
would seem to be
yes.
a smart thing. But there's something that I don't think is there in their lives that they're doing reckless things, you know, like this.
Good
yeah,
point.
You know, and then even Sherman last year, my goodness.
Yeah, that guy, that Sherman, you know, famous, rich, you know, beautiful wife, beautiful kids, big home, but obviously something is causing that depression, that manifested in the ugliest way possible.
Yeah, at least
especially
with
alcohol
Sherman,
abuse.
It seems like he's rebounded so far, but we hope my Marshawn Lynch does too.
And did you see Earl Thomas's house burned down?
Oh, yeah.
That happened a couple.
And then you got Earl Thomas, and then the way he went out of Seattle, and then his his little circus after out of Seattle. My goodness.
Yeah, he turned into a, pardon my phrase, but he turned into a douchebag, in my opinion.
Do you think he turned into it, or do you think he was always that way and got protected left and right?
Maybe he was always that way. Either way, I was quite disappointed how he left Seattle. In fact, he was my favorite player. I had his jersey, and the day when the crap started all happening, and I just threw my jersey in the garbage. I wasn't like one of those people who burn jerseys, but I was just so disappointed. It broke my heart.
Yeah, thing of, you know, trying to separate. I was talking a little bit earlier about, you know, idolatry of athletes. You know, I try not to do that because I can fall in love with what Earl Thomas did as a player, but I don't personally know the guy, and I don't think it's right for me to, you know, judge him too harshly in either direction. You know, like, this is the greatest guy of all time, or this is the worst human being on earth. I mean, I don't know him. I don't know what his personal situation is, and I think as a society, again, I go back to Charles Barkley. Like, you know, like, we got to be really careful about, you know, making judgments about these people in the positive or negative, because we don't really know.
For sure. Especially when he's throwing midgets through the plate glass windows.
Well, okay, yep. Maybe you can judge him a little bit on that. But what I mean is, you guys know what I mean. I mean, there's obviously something deep rooted in him that's causing this bad behavior.
Yeah.
You know, is it,
for sure.
You know, is it a bad upbringing? Is it a CTE issue? Is it, well, it could just be a plain bad person. I mean, that's possible too. But, you know, I remember, you guys remember Michael Irvin from the Cowboys?
Yeah.
And,
yep.
He was up to some shenanigans, but he was also accused of a lot of stuff that he didn't do. And just fans were getting mad at him for things that were not his fault or his doing. You know, he was in a completely different state or county than, you know, what things happened. And it's like, you know, I think sometimes, and I guess the three of us are kind of media adjacent. We got to be a little careful, you know, talk bad about somebody.
Yeah, that's true,
good point.
And it doesn't make me feel good to talk bad about people, you know, my goodness.
Correct.
Yeah, let's save all our hate for Matthew Page. He is the third co-host on our show. Send all your hate messages to – yeah, I'm just kidding.
Okay, and then now, Soul Man, what about them Sounders? They did get the CONCACAF championship this year.
Yeah, I'm not the big soccer expert of our team, but I do every once in a while get on the bandwagon because I should keep up on them. But yeah, that was awesome. I was excited for when that happened, and I just hope they can stay above the playoff line and make it back to the playoffs again this year, because they're still a good team. They got a lot of good players and a heck of a – that's a great organization. Haven't they made the playoffs like every year since they first started? I mean, yep. Abe, you would know offhand.
Yeah, I guess this might be a better whereas the minor leagues is a better question for Brian, Sounders probably better for me. So I'll be happy to step in here. And, definitely mentioned that the CONCACAF championship – club championships has now put the Sounders not just at a North American, you know, level of fame. It's now a world level of fame. We're going to get put into scenarios, you know, in the World Cup team championships. So basically we're advancing to another level at the international stage where we're going to face potentially, you know, a major team in Europe or a major team, you know, elsewhere in the world. And get on televisions, not just in the tens of thousands to 100,000, but into the, you know, tens of millions, you know, hundreds of millions of homes. So the Sounders position themselves for fame. They are the preeminent team in all of MLS. This year, I know they went all in on the CONCACAF Champions League, and I'm fine with that because they've done something now that nobody else in the MLS has done. Now, does that hurt their chances at getting back to the MLS Cup a little bit. Jao Paulo, they're amazing. They're amazing behind the box midfielder. He the former position that Osvaldo Alonso used to play, by the way. He's out for the season. He's done. That's forced a shift. You know, think of it like as an offensive line. You know, whenever you put a offensive lineman who you know has been a career right tackle, and you're telling them now you're a left tackle, that's hard to do, and that's what they've been doing. They've moved Alex Roldan, you know, Seattle University, former Seattle University star, into a position he's not familiar with. He's starting to get adjusted. They've moved some other guys around, including Kellen Rowe. They put him in when he's really supposed to be a backup. They're below the line right now, but I believe they're going to win some more games. They're not going to break this streak of playoff appearances. Again, preeminent team in all of MLS. They're the Green Bay Packers. They're the New York Yankees of the MLS, and they'll be back again. They have too much depth not to.
Yeah, and then what an impressive franchise they are. We've got the most rabid fans, it seems like. We've got the best attendance, one of the best stadiums. It's really nice to have them be part of Seattle.
Yeah, and they have we have the equivalent to Billy Beane as our general manager. Gareth Lagerwey looks for all the what's called Solak. It's inefficiencies or you know, just wherever there's gaps in players. So he gets a lot of guys from Central and South America who are on the uptick, and he gets a lot of guys who through the Seattle Founders Academy, and then he stays away from 36-year-old guys who are coming from England to retire, pick up their money, and, you know, sip Mai Tais on the beach, which a lot of teams in the MLS have. And you know, if you're, you know, 36, you know, that doesn't seem that old to you know, guys like us. But, I mean, it's positively ancient in a game where you're sprinting for, you know, 90 minutes a game. You know, that it generally doesn't work, and you're generally paying too much money for the value. Gareth Lagerwey is amazing. Before him, his predecessor was Adrian Hanauer, who's now the president of the company, or president of the Sounders. You know, just that's when it all works up top, it flows downhill, and it's an amazing franchise. You're correct, Coach Mike.
For sure. And then, hey, back to baseball. Soul Man, you're a big fan of the Bellingham Bells, I see. And they used to have the Bellingham Mariners way back in the day. And so obviously those are two different situations, though, right? What league is the Bellingham Bells?
Bellingham Bells are part of the West Coast League. They're two separate divisions of, I think it's two six-team divisions, and they're a summer college baseball wooden bats, and they usually get – they're like the – you know, if you've heard of the Cape Cod League up on the East Coast, that's the number one in the world for where college players like to go to get noticed by the major leagues. But the West Coast League is probably number two, I would rank, amongst all the summer leagues. And Bellingham Bells
Northwoods, maybe?
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, them too,
Northwoods,
yes.
Maybe is up there too, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm glad you brought up the Bells tonight. They are playing for the North Championship against the Wenatchee Apple Sox, and we went tonight. We play against the South starting, I want to say, on Monday. Most likely is going to be Corvallis, I believe. They're like the New York Yankees of the West Coast League. That's how dominant they are. But I want to give a shout-out to the Bellingham Bells. Good luck tonight. You guys are great, and they're run by the general manager, Stephanie Morrell. She's been there for about 5 or 6 years, and just a high-class organization. Bellingham, you asked about the comparison of them and the Bellingham Mariners. I do remember when the Mariners, that was when Griffey played up there, and I think that was their low A, single A team back in the day, part of the Northwest League.
Okay.
That's right. And they were called the Baby M's
Yeah. Fabian. Okay, and then.
Yep.
By the way, there's
the Seattle
plaque. Sorry. I just wanted to say that if you ever go to the Aqua Sox games, there is a plaque, third baseline, in the parking. Is it the parking lot? Yeah, it's kind of the parking lot on that side,
yeah.
Where Ken Griffey hit his very first home run as a professional.
All right, cool. I'm going to have to check that out. Now, are the Seattle Fish Sticks in the same league?
No, I know who you're talking about.
Is that International League? Is that with the Redmond, the Seattle Studs and the Redmond Dudes? Is that Island Bears? Is that part of that?
That might be. I know who you're talking about, Coach Mikey.
I think they play with the aluminum bats.
Yeah.
They play with the aluminum bats, I think.
And they might be part of the Merchants
also,
League then.
And then also the Portland Pickles. It's all different.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
right?
Okay, so that's West, what's it called, Solak? It's like West International League or
Pacific
that, yeah.
International League, I think.
Pacific International
yeah.
League, thank you. And the Redmond Dudes are part of that. The Everett Merchants are part of that. Portland Pickles. There's one in Vancouver that just got started, a really beautiful complex. Those are all, I think you call that semi-pro, Coach Mike. So they do get paid with their, and some have made their way to the MLB, but it's outside of the sphere of the control of Major League Baseball.
Okay. Now the only people we haven't gone, or the only teams we haven't gone over, are the Seattle Storm and the hockey team. Do you guys got time to go over those?
I'll talk Storm all day. Hockey, I'm not that big. I don't know much about it.
I don't know much about hockey,
and
I can talk Storm too. I mean, we had Jeff Baker on during the year on our podcast. He talked a little bit about the hockey team, and so that gave us a little bit of knowledge, but it's still something we're learning, but we can talk both.
Well, also, the Seattle Storm were one of our first, they're one of our first media credentials that we ever got, and we had the opportunity to do photography down at the old Key Arena, and what a pleasant, fun environment, by the way. I mean, it's I know people rag on the WNBA a lot, but I mean, like, these ladies are trying hard, and they're putting 110% in. And, you know, I hate it when people, you know, say like, oh, well, they don't do this, they don't do that. Well, spirit of competition, do you hate it? Do you just want flash and lack of substance? Because you're getting all substance, you know, and I love going to those games. They're fun, and they're competitive, and the crowds are always into it.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yes. And then I still haven't got any media credentials yet. I'm hoping one day I can get some. It'd be nice to do that one day.
I'll hit you up. I'll send Brian. I'll give to Brian to send to you off air, our contact.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, and the Storm, they've always been impressive, multiple time world champions, Sue Bird's retirement
four
tour.
Four championships.
Yes.
Yep.
And I was a huge fan of Lauren Jackson, and I am of Stewart and their current team, their coach, the whole story. What about you, Soul Man?
I'm a fan too, especially Sue Bird. I mean, I've gone to a few games with my family over the years, and she could. I mean, I know I'm not a basketball player really, but she could school probably all three of us at once out there. That's how. I mean, she's awesome. And there's a reason why she's played for 20 plus years, and I like to think that she's, you know, a leader for all these young ladies growing up who you know, getting into basketball, and because I know she goes around and she's well involved in the city with, you know, youth groups and stuff like that. And she's a class act. She if I had a hero in basketball, she would be my number one choice for women's basketball for sure.
Right on. Yeah, and I know what you mean about being beat by a girl or a woman, of course. Man, I was at this youth league thing years ago, and one of the counselors or whatever was a UPS basketball player for University of Puget Sound. She's like a
Puget
forward.
Yeah.
So she's just a little bit taller than me, but my goodness. And she was like no superstar or nothing, but I could not beat her. So, yes, if they're in any type of position like those ladies, yes, they are not easy to beat.
No.
And was you saying something, Abe?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm glad you brought up Lauren Jackson. Because, you know, I know Brianna Stewart, she takes a lot of the more recent headlines. As we know, this might be her last year as well. She may be she stayed one last year to stay with Sue Bird, which a lot of people don't remember or don't know. And that was, you know, just in the hope for one more championship. Again, if they win this year, at least five championships in 20 years, name me a Seattle area, you know, team that's had five championships. I mean, Sounders are close, but they're at two. You know, I mean, it's amazing. And guys, remember, there was a league called the American Basketball League, and we had a women's team called the Seattle Reign, and they played at the old Mercer Arena. You know, the one that got torn down and condemned. There's a lady named Katie Starbird. She was like the star player. And then the American Basketball League folded. And everybody thought that's it. Women's basketball is done for. It's never going to do nothing. It's never going to survive. And, I give props to the NBA. They helped set up the WNBA and get it started. And they're still helping out, you know, here and there. But it was a dark time in the 90s because the Seattle Reign went out of business. Remember Lynn Dunn was the coach for the Storm when they first started, and they were terrible. They couldn't win anything.
Yeah.
And just kind of a perfect storm. Ann Donovan got here. Lauren Jackson got here from Australia. Sue Bird came here from UConn. And then it was just like, almost 20 years now, just constant success. They've had, I think, like only two losing seasons in 20 years. In 20 years. I mean, like, come on, that's freaking amazing. And then Sue Bird, 36 years old, leads the league in assists. I don't think that's ever been done before in either men's or women's basketball. Like,
wow.
She still has something left in the tank.
Definitely,
yeah.
And then like I said at the start of the program, I'm really admire your guys' your show and all your knowledge and the history of Seattle sports. And Kate Starbird, my goodness, that brings back her memory. As far as I remember, I was like in love with her. She was a cutie, wasn't she?
I was too.
My God.
Yes, she was.
I've
been married for 28 years, but I loved her too.
and then, you know, the next best thing when they got Sue Bird when the storm came. So it's like, oh, man. It's like a coincidence almost. Starbird and Bird. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All
sure,
right,
yeah.
Well. All right, well, man, it's been a great show, man. We went a lot longer than we planned on, but, you know, time flies when you're having fun. I appreciate you guys coming on. I want to give you all the time you need to plug and promote anything you'd like and let everyone know how to get a hold of you guys.
I'll leave that in my
sure.
box.
I'll start.
Abe.
Oh, I was going to split it with you. Let's split it, okay? I'll promote.
Okay.
Everybody go check out SeattleSportsUnion.com. That's our website. And check out all of our great podcasts on Spotify, iTunes, Captivate FM, and then social media. Why don't you take that over, Soulman?
You can follow us on Twitter. My personal one is at Soulman156 or at Seattle Sports Union. You can also follow us. We're real involved on Twitter, and on, we also have a Seattle Sports Union Facebook page. We'd love it if you went there and followed us as well. And lastly, I want to say, I mean, Coach Mike, we'd love to have you on again sometime and get some more stories about your career. And I know Abraham, and speaking for Abraham, but I know both of us had a fun time today, and we're truly appreciative of you having us on.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for letting us run.
You're welcome, you guys. I'm a huge fan. Like I said, you're welcome to come on 15 minutes any one of my shows to plug or promote anything you like, or just send me any type of press releases or anything that you like, and I would love to plug those for you guys.
Awesome. Thanks.
Appreciate that. You as well. If there's anything ever, I know you tag us all the time, but anything you want, or PM me and I'll make sure I get it out there for sure.
Yeah. Maybe we can one of these days get in person, Coach Mike. You know, that'd be fun.
Yes,
too.
Definitely. I need to get up there to the Everett Aqua Sox, but man, it's like a 3-hour drive from my house. But
yeah, I went to the Rainiers.
Okay.
For 2.5 hours.
Oh, for you, yeah, basically same thing, yeah. Yeah, been to the Mariners and the Rainiers this year so far. Still haven't been to the Aqua Sox, but yes, I definitely need to, and I'm looking forward to it, and I can't wait to see you guys myself so I get an MGW Green Room interview with you guys, and then see what else we can come up with.
Sounds good.
Thanks so much, you guys. We appreciate
Great.
It.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Coach Mike. Take care.
All right.
See you later.
Thank you. All right. What a show. My goodness. What an honor and a privilege to have those guys on, the Soul Man and Abe from Seattle Sports Union. So, yes, Mariners getting ready to play Texas again. And we got to keep going strong. Gonzo on the hill today. We wish him all the luck in the world. Thanks a lot, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, a diagnose. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for interviews from people all over the world. Also the Seattle Mariners Organizational Report and Cincinnati Reds Organizational Report. You can also hear me on Turnbuckle Turmoil every Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific. And Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific. Tomorrow we got DeFola DeBashi on Turnbuckle Turmoil with myself and Sign Guy. So don't forget to check that out. And thanks so much and have a great weekend.